Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Children with cerebral palsy have an impairment in the area of the brain that controls movement and muscle tone. But many of these youngsters have normal intelligence, and sometimes you would see a child at the grocery store or at your children's school, and you'd think right away that this is a child that has disabilities in their thought process and intellectual abilities as well. And that's not always the case. My guest is Dr. Gary Noritz. He's an internist and a pediatrician at Nationwide Children's Hospital. Dr. Noritz, welcome to the show. Give the listeners a bit of a working definition about cerebral palsy and clear up some of the myths, because sometimes, I know in my own daughter's class, the child that has it, his mother comes in and introduces him each year to explain his situation so that the other kids are not afraid.
Sure. No, this is one of my favorite topics. Thanks for having me. So cerebral palsy is fairly common. We think it's about 3 per 1,000 kids. And so there really are a lot of kids and adults in the world with cerebral palsy. When we say cerebral palsy, we mean that a patient has had an injury to the brain early in the brain's development that has caused a motor problem. And so that means that that injury to the brain is not progressive. It may have happened before the child was born. It may happen during the birth process. And it may happen early in the child's development. But we can't trace it back all the time to difficulties with the birth process. And in fact, we're finding out more and more that it seems to be very seldomly due to difficulties with the birth process.
Now that is, you know, contrary to the late night TV personal injury ads.
Yes.
And that's something that I would like you to clear up for the listeners.
Sure.
Because they hear this all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it is most often not, we don't always know why a child has been born with cerebral palsy, but it's very rarely able to be traced back to difficulties with the birth process. And in fact, if you go back as far as Sigmund Freud, who was a neurologist before he was a psychiatrist, he recognized that children with CP often had difficult births, but he thought it was because they had CP, not because they had a birth injury that caused cerebral palsy.
Chicken and the egg right there.
That's right. Things that cause cerebral palsy include infections, both prenatally and after birth. Stroke in childhood causes a lot of cerebral palsy, and lack of oxygen to the brain, which really can happen at any time during the pregnancy, the birth process, or afterwards.
So now what a parent has been told their child has cerebral palsy, and they're devastated.
Absolutely. This is a big diagnosis, but the first important thing that I talk to parents about is to say that this happens. We may be able to pin down why it happened. It's very rarely because of something that the mom did while she was pregnant or that was done to her or by the doctor. But it is just one of those unfortunate things that happens.
So what advice do you give parents about living with this and loving this child that might have a disability and caring for this child and knowing that your future is going to involve caring for this child?
Right. So the first thing is to recognize that everybody with a disability has abilities as well. And we need to figure out what those abilities are and build on them at the same time that we're making accommodations to try to get around the disability. And so if I could just go back for a second to the definition of cerebral palsy, it's a static disorder. It doesn't get worse, but it doesn't get better either. It involves the motor system, and it may involve cognitive development, thinking. It may involve hearing and vision, but it may not. It may involve behavioral problems, but it may not. And so around a half of the kids with cerebral palsy do have significant intellectual impairment, but half don't. And I can tell you that nothing's more infuriating to somebody with cerebral palsy is to be treated like they have a cognitive disability when they don't.
Well, and I'm sure that that's true, and that's one of the myths here. But now speak to parents about living with this.
Okay.
Adaptive equipment, what do they do?
There are really just very exciting things and lots of very cool stuff available to help children with cerebral palsy reach their fullest potential. And so there are great braces out there that can help support a kid who has some weakness. There are medications that can decrease the amount of spasticity that a child has. We use outside of the wrinkle business, it's the neurologists and physical medicine doctors who inject a lot of Botox to relax the muscles of children with cerebral palsy, which can help make them more functional. Communication devices for patients that have difficulty with communication are getting really, really very advanced and very fun to use. And we have in our institution right now a project going where we're trying to outfit some of the kids with iPads, which have some very nice applications for communicating by voice.
So it's really about
very neat stuff.
Working with your child to develop the skills, become resilient, positive self-esteem. I mean, this child is going to grow up with this. It's never going to go away, as you said. Is there maybe even on the horizon something that can say that maybe this child will be able to live a more independent life than you
right.
might imagine when you get that diagnosis?
Yeah, absolutely. And cerebral palsy is a very wide diagnosis, and there are people with very mild cerebral palsy that live independently and have families of their own, and even some people with severe cerebral palsy are able to do quite a bit on their own because of the equipment, the adaptive equipment that's able to be provided to them, as well as their will to live independently. So a big thing is, can you raise your child to expect that they will be able to live independently and that they're as valuable as anybody else that they might run across?
Can you?
I think you can. I have a whole collection of video clips of people with cerebral palsy who climb mountains and run companies and play adaptive sports and are really able to enjoy their lives.
And that's very hopeful for parents, Dr. Noritz, because I would imagine that you're worried about, pushing the child too far and or too hard because you think they can accomplish something, but yet there's that fine line because you want to get them to fulfill their potential, whatever that may be. So in just the last minute that we have left, wrap up cerebral palsy. Give us a little bit of horizon hope for parents out there.
Okay. So children with cerebral palsy most often will live to be adults with cerebral palsy. And so our ability to take care of them is evolving as we go on. There are some very interesting things being done now to see if we can't reverse some of the brain damage that was done by cerebral palsy, and there's some trials going on of stem cells, which I think are very exciting. I would caution people that they're really not ready yet for widespread use. And if you go on the internet and you see that you can go to Thailand or China or India and get a stem cell injection, I would
advise
recommend not doing that. But look at the some of the very nice work that's being done with stem cells here in the country, but being done very cautiously with safety first in mind.
With safety first in mind. And there is hope, and you can work with your child to really develop skills and gain self-esteem. And that's what it's about here at Healthy Children. I'm Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.